Friends, welcome, welcome, welcome to this episode of the Program for Medicine, Spirituality, and Religion. This is recorded so that we can share it with the world. And we have a really special, wonderful guest, Maxie Bartel, who is an internationally recognized podcaster on a topic that is near and dear to everyone's heart, which is well-being, wholeness, spiritual thriving, and what it means to live the good life. This is Maxie's umbrella is vast, and I'll tell you how we met. Maxie reached out to this guy, me, and wanted to hear my thoughts about well-being and burnout. And we had such an engaging conversation that, and I thought, gosh, here's Maxie. He's asking all the questions. But meanwhile, Max has asked deep questions to at least 50 leaders, thought leaders, experts on all manner of well-being. And in the academic scholarly world, if you interview 50 people about well-being and spiritual flourishing, well, you become an expert. You've just done a qualitative study. So after Maxie interviewed me, I invited Maxie to come on and let us interview him. And so our format today will be, I'm going to just interview Max for, maybe 20, 30 minutes. So you can get an idea of, who he is. And then after about 20, 30 minutes, I invite everybody to just ask questions about Max. Let me put his podcast link into the chat there. So there's the Program for Medicine Spirituality link. And here's link to his podcast. So Max, just by way of getting us started, where are you right now? As in, which country are you in? And what time is it at wherever you are?
Right. So welcome, everybody. And thank you so much, Ben. It is truly an honor to be here and to be spending time with all of you beautiful souls. It's really, I'm in deep gratitude. So I just wanted to start off with saying that and acknowledging that. And I truly believe it's wonderful what you are doing and the space that you are creating here. So thank you so much for allowing me to be part of it. I'm in Germany right now. I have my feet on German soil. Both my feet are planted here. I'm grounded. I'm in Bavaria. I'm in the south, next to the biggest Bavarian lake. I just moved here, in fact, and it is now 6:09 in the evening. Sun is slowly going down behind the mountains, and my heart is filled with gratitude and bliss about us meeting. So yeah, thank you again.
So 6:09 p.m. So after this talk, hopefully there'll be some supper and a nice sunset. So Maxie, the title of your podcast is Going Out and Looking In. How did you decide upon the title? And what is the origin of this podcast?
Right. So Going Out Looking In is probably my fifth attempt of starting a podcast. The idea of creating one has been in the making for many years. I took a swing at it multiple times, but nothing really sticked or stuck. And I just couldn't really put my finger on the format that I wanted to create. And so I always got caught up in my head about the concept of the podcast and the contents, the guests. Should it be an interview podcast? Should it be with guests? And so basically form follows function brought me to going out looking in, because I was really taking in an inventory around sort of the mechanic that will help me to share from the heart, to really be intuitive with it. And that is for me to go out. So by going out and taking a walk and being with the elements, I'm able to really basically, yeah, just be a vessel for whatever needs to come through. And I experienced that with friends or with phone calls with people outside, or I don't know, I like to take people outside and to go outside myself. So basically I had that. And so basically form follows function, I got equipment that allowed me to go outside to then take a look inside. So I had a mobile recorder, and with that I plugged in my headphones and I just took the podcast on a walk, and I just started to basically record myself as a diary of some sorts of the topics that are on top of mind and heart for me. And it turned into what is now Going Out Looking In, which is an interview podcast. So it's not about me at all. It actually, in retrospect, never has been about me. It always has been about creating a space where spirit can flow through. So this is really sort of how I open up my interviews. The space that I'm looking to create is like, well, yes, this physical incarnation of of me as Maxi is creating the space, but like the guests really fill it with their wisdom, with their energy, with what they bring. And so I'm just in service to this thing, which now is the podcast, and Going Out Looking In just seemed a suitable title. Yeah. So that's how that was. Yeah.
And I've described it as a podcast that explores human flourishing and the spirit. Is that about right? Or how would you describe the main purpose of your podcast?
Right. That's definitely part of it. And like I set it out with an intention. I basically, yeah, started this journey of going out looking 1.5 years ago, roughly, in December 2022. And the subline of the podcast is and was going out looking in the podcast about the big questions of life, personal growth, and spirituality. And that was just I had to come up with something. And now actually I'm in the process of sort of like redefining it, because really the podcast moved into its own direction, where it's now sort of like more about the personal stories of people. And that's also what I'm interested in. It's more like I'm speaking a lot about topics that are focusing on spirituality, ancient wisdom combined with scientific research, and the modern approach to many of these very, yeah, old traditions and, yeah, healing modalities as well that have been around for centuries and decades. So that is a part of it. But I'm more interested in not only talking about a subject, but also talking to the individual behind it. And so I'm more sort of moving into a more like individual focused format, which still will address spirit and everything and life and everything in between, but also more the stories that individuals carry rather than just theoretical ideas or constructs. And but I will go into that a little bit deeper with some other questions that you'll ask. But that's what's coming up for me right now.
Yeah. And then, of course, speaking of stories, and we want to hear about some of those stories and what you've learned and the people you've met. But everyone on this Zoom will be curious about who are you when you're not podcasting? You know, when you're a fella in Bavaria, what's your life outside of your podcast?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's many names, many tags that I can come up with and name. I guess I'm just a very curious spirit and always have been. So I would consider myself very creative. So I play music in various forms. I write music. I play guitar. I play the drums. I really love working with my hands. So I'm right now working part-time in hospitality because I really do believe in the energy exchange between serving someone in the literal sense and receiving something in return, just with a smile, with a gesture, with words, money. All of that is like, for me, like a cyclical relationship that I sort of also try to really establish with the work that I'm doing. And in a digital world, I really started to miss opportunities where I can serve people with my hands and basically physical in comparison to the very digital spaces and the world that we're living in. I love the outdoors. It's my greatest teacher. I feel like nature is the closest expression of God that we can experience as humans. So I like to expose myself to it as much as I can daily. I'm a very active person, and like to, you know, keep this vessel fit. So I'm moving my body regularly and I'm trying to stay on top of things on all levels, you know, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and intellectually as well. I studied business administration. I worked in marketing for 10 years. I'm self-employed with a marketing agency, so I'm also doing that on the side. But my heart is really in the arts and the creative part of life, as well as the podcast.
Got it. All right. So thank you for that, Maxie, because we're curious. Like, who is this guy coming in from Germany with us podcast? So you have a full life of arts and hospitality and marketing. Okay, now let's get to it. I'm going to share the all these episodes that you've performed, all these podcasts, and you know, the seasons of life, creating sacred suns, nature is nurture, yoga reimagining, understanding trauma, the medicine of relationships, and these people, when you go on this. You know, oh, there's Ben Doolittle. Look at that. But you know, these are psychologists and physicians and, you know, spiritual leaders and chaplains and yoga teachers. Could you tell us what, when you think back of all your episodes, what episodes have struck you personally as the most poignant?
Wow, it's a big one. Well, in some ways, all of them really, but I will highlight a couple of ones. Dr. Stephen Harding comes to mind and heart. He is a direct disciple, if you want to say so, of James Lovelock. He is investigating the Gaia theory in depth, and he is an unbelievably generous spirit and such a wise soul who I had the pleasure of interviewing. So he is one of the leading professors at this Schumacher College in the UK, and he dedicated his life to really sort of like investigate the intersection of spirituality and spiritual traditions and nature, really, and Gaia, and that we can basically, when immersing ourselves into nature and into the world and into the natural world, we can really come in touch with an organism that has a spirit, and we can connect with Mother Earth, such as we can connect with a person, we can communicate, we can build a relationship, we can communicate with it on all levels. And that conversation was not only like professionally very enriching, but also personally, because he really took me under his wing, and he I don't know, he opened myself up also to the idea of being able to reach out to such prominent figures. So this is like a big takeaway from the podcast in general to all of you people who are listening right now. It's just like, just ask. There's so much wisdom out there, and so much beautiful, enriching frequencies that are around us. And if we want to engage with them, we got to ask. And so many people that I came in touch with were so happy to share what they've learned, but I had to ask them. And I was so surprised of how many of them responded by saying, yes, I would like to talk to you. So that's one of the biggest takeaways of the podcast is really how much opportunities you can create by asking for what you want. So that's one thing that comes to mind. Then my personal mentor, who is Vince Matoska Chafin, he's one of the leading facilitators of the movement, which is Sacred Sons, who are focusing a lot of working with men, and men's like healing, in particular. He's a wisdom keeper. He is, a ceremonialist, a musician, a space holder, a facilitator of sacred spaces. And I've just learned so much about life from him. So he definitely comes to mind as, and it also manifested physically. So I spent time with him on his property in Bakersfield in the mountains, and he showed me how to hunt. He showed me how to build tools. He showed me how to build a house. So many things that a young guy as myself just, I don't know, can learn from elders. So that's also something that I really was able to extract from the podcast as a young fella. It's just like, let's get in touch with the elders. Let's bring back the tribe, and let's engage with people who are older than myself, because there's so much to learn, really. Yeah.
Maxie, this is why I am so happy that you're zipping in from Germany. Here's the question that I ponder myself, and we have some MedPeds residents on, so they've heard me say this a million times. We have some esteemed faculty here who are surgeons and cardiologists and chaplains, and someone was working in the emergency room just last night. I think folks will agree with me on this. So here's the thing. The medicine is easy and everything else is hard. And the second rule, of course, is sometimes the medicine is hard, but I'm struck that an important challenge to medicine, the practice of medicine, is how we keep up our spirits. And we know that burnout among physicians is about 50%, and it's been stable for the past 20 years since it's first been studied. And we know that burnout has a lot of important downstream effects, that physicians tend to quit, physicians who are burned out, and nurses and PAs make medical errors. So it impacts patients' lives. Folks who are burned out have a host of other mental health related things, addictions and alcohol and broken marriages and such. And I find that, you know, everyone on this Zoom, we can do the medicine. We can do it. But how do we keep our spirit alive? How do we keep our soul intact amidst this life that is a life of service, a life of healing, but it is a life that is very, very hard. It is a life that is hard. Maxie, you have interviewed 50 people on going out and looking in. What do you think is the answer to healthcare burnout. How do we keep our spirit intact? What do you think?
Everybody wants to save the world, and nobody wants to do the dishes. That's a quote that comes to mind and heart when you say that. And something that I was able to extract from the podcast is that, and that's my personal view on this, tainted by the glass that I'm looking through. To me, and I see myself in that often, many people are really focused and on saving others and helping and being of service in a big way, in a significant way. And that's very honorable and beautiful. However, the more people I'm speaking with, the more I realize our work really starts at home. It starts here, in this vessel right here, right now. And none of us has the book of life with all the answers. None of us. I really do believe and realize that more and more, also with speaking to very prominent figures of some disciplines, let it be spirituality, healing, trauma, somatics, yoga, whatever, they're all seekers. So while there are universal truths and objective wisdom that can help us to flourish and to heal, and therefore also physicians to heal and not go into burnout, I just find that we need to investigate our personal relationship to those healing modalities. That's really where the rubber hits the road. Because all of these big healing modalities, like I said, in and of itself, they carry a lot of potential in them. But then it's like, okay, what's my relationship to it? And I need to find that. How? Well, I got to try things out. So try out yoga, try out somatic experiencing, try out forest bathing and ecotherapy, try out grounding, go back to the basics by dropping into the body, into the breath. Maybe go to some retreat, but there is no general answer. Just the most generic I can make it is just like, we need to investigate it for ourselves and be open, because there is a lot of stuff out there and it can be overwhelming. I will say this, I do believe that like there is an inclination for like transcendence that I can observe right now in this day and age, where it's a lot about like transcending the mind and going to higher realms. I really do believe that there's much healing and potential for health and flourishing to be found in coming back to the body. That's really what I feel and have found out through the podcast. It's the simple things, going outside in the morning, barefoot, on the ground. If you're flying to a new country, first thing, shoes off, on the grass, lay on the floor. If you're feeling overwhelmed, lay on the floor and breathe into the tummy. The simplest things, the breath is always with us, right? So breathe into the nose all the way down to the sacral area and let that chi flow. It's the simple things. The most sophisticated, complicated sounding things. It's like the basics that I found to be the antidote to what is being promoted in our modern times very often.
So Maxie, here at Yale Medical School, we don't really talk about the chi and walking barefoot in the grass. So that's why I invited you here. Because maybe we should do that. You know, maybe it's that simple and that complicated at the same time. I have one more question that I really want to invite the gang here to speak up. In the Zoomosphere, nobody likes to talk. If you have a burning question, you can pop it in the chat, but it's really nice to have a conversation. But my other question that I put to you, because of all the people you've interviewed, is this the exploration of a spiritual life and religious life, that I think for the past decade or 20 years, it was very trendy to say that, oh, I'm spiritual but not religious, as if maybe being spiritual was sort of this liberated, open kind of way, and that religion was maybe doctrinal or tradition based or community based, perhaps. So at least in our circles, in New England, at Yale, it might be trendy to say, oh, I'm spiritual but not religious. Now I'm not sure if we're that spiritual as a society. I wonder if we've become, our religion is more performative, Instagram motivated, Facebook generated, that maybe our lives are filled with illusion of posturing of what the good life might be like. So spiritual, religious versus whatever is going on now. There's like three things. Maxie, what's your take? Spirituality, religiosity, modernity. Where do you land on those three domains?
Wow, yeah. Oh, big questions. I guess that's what you set yourself up to if you start a podcast with about the big questions of life.
Right.
It'll come around like a boomerang. So here we go. All right. So, well, I do believe, like, we have to use words to communicate. So I have to, you know, in a foreign language for me, I have to try to articulate what, you know, all of these very big philosophies are trying to communicate to us. So I do believe that spirit is in at the core, in the middle. And by spirit, I mean God, I mean the universe, source, whatever name you want to give it. And whatever name the belief and therefore the religion might associate with this universal truth, all right, that is bigger than ourselves, all right? For me, that's in the center. Where I see religion coming in is really sort of an instrument, an instrument that helps humans to get in touch with this eternal source. And to me, my personal teacher is Michael Singer, and the teachings that he is engaging with are very universal, and they pull from all religions that we know, and it combines them. And by investigating it myself, by living in a Zen Buddhist monastery, having all of those conversations, doing and trying out so many different healing modalities and contemplative exercises and techniques, I really do believe that we're all, as Ram Dass said, walking each other home and meet in the same place. Now, humans like, you know, to, in order to feel safe, the ego likes to feel safe, the ego likes to have something to hold on to. That's why religion is so beautiful, because it offers something that you can hold on to, a physical place even where you can go to. It even offers a building where we can walk into. It offers us texts, stories, metaphors, figures, all of the pictures, paintings, music, songs, all of those beautiful manifestations. But I'm not interested in, so that all comes after, but like, what's at the core? What is being said here? And that's like my very subjective view on this is just that the core is very much so, it's very similar. The kingdom is within you, as Christ said. But then at the same time, there is Buddhist teachings, there's Hindu teachings, there is kirtans that are being sung in monasteries in India, and all of them are pointing inwards. So we can engage with all of those beautiful theories. And I believe also with the podcast, I make it a personal mission to some sorts to also build a bridge between religions, because I really do believe that's what we need more than anything else in this time, because we have enough institutions and individuals who are dividing. And while it sometimes can even be good not to divide, but to, let's say, contrast different movements, I do believe it is equally as important to then again unify. So it's just like, all right, yes, we can go into a evangelic church or a Catholic church. And so for example, my practice is I go to a Catholic church and I'll be using Zen meditation techniques to connect with God in that building. And it works just as fine. Many roads to the mountain. Many roads to the mountain. But yeah, I'm always like to ask, what's at the core?
Maxie, thank you for all of this, because folks have come from the busy wards and a busy clinic, and it's just important to talk about this stuff, to have this be part of our our lunchtime dialogue before we plunge back into it all. I have a lot more questions, but I invite anybody to raise a point if they have a thought to share or a question that they want to ask. I Maxie, you've interviewed 50 people who are surfers and academics and chaplains, and it's just great, right? Like, if you were in academic medicine, you would be banging out qualitative academic peer-reviewed papers. Tyler, ask your question. And then thanks for raising your hand. And then Crystal, you're sure. Next. Oh, wait, what happened to Tyler?
Here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Hit it, Tyler. Yep.
Hey, thanks, Ben. And thanks, Maxie, for, I think, grounding us and just reminding us of some of these ancient and wise practices that we should all have access to. So my question is, I'm thinking about people in my life, people in my community. So I'm around the corner from Ben. I'm at the Yale School of Medicine. Many of us are here in offices or labs, but I think of like communities who are maybe doing shift work, or they're the undergirding labor forces of the world, where they don't have a lot of privilege or flexibility to give a bandwidth to their spiritual life. And they certainly don't have the time to go walk around barefoot in the woods. And I'm just curious if any of your interviews have sort of gained wisdom from people who have developed ways of coping with and tapping into a deep and, a human element of what it's like to be seeking out this wisdom and this rest and this balance, even when you're essentially trapped in, you can think of the Amazon fulfillment worker or the mailroom employee, where they are craving that wholeness, but they are limited by what their circumstances would allow them to do.
It's a good question, Tyler. Yeah, is the spiritual life sort of a privileged life, if you're asking those questions? Yeah. Oops, sorry. Go ahead, Maxie. What do you think?
Beautiful question. Thank you, Tyler. Beautiful. So, yeah, much to be said about it. I do believe that I'm making I statements. I'm definitely coming from a place of privilege in a worldly sense. So much that I can spend my time doing, talking into a $100 microphone and recording this on a MacBook and all of that. So I'm well aware of it. At the same time, it is a we all have a choice. We all have a choice. And I'm not going out and making this about somebody else. I'm making it about, let's make it practical, all right? In a worldly sense, the life that I'm living right now is might be considered to many as a, I don't know, like a step back or like a regression or something like that, because I'm now stepping away from a corporate career to work, for example, partially in hospitality. Why am I doing this? Financially, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't set me up for a great, let's say, corporate trajectory. But what it does do, it puts me in touch with humanity. And I do believe, and I worked in the warehouses of Aldi. I worked in construction. I worked many very physical jobs that don't earn me a lot of money. And I do believe spirit and the spiritual life can be found in, can be found everywhere. And maybe you have heard of Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, the founder of logotherapy. He found a spiritual life in a concentration camp during the Third Reich. So while our circumstances can emphasize and help and facilitate an easier access to spirit, I do believe that at the same time, it's completely independent of them. It starts in here and not outside. Michael Singer always says, spirit can be found in using a broom or like working as a janitor. And many Zen Buddhists do this. It's not about the sweeping. It's not about the actual task. It's about the intention behind the task. So while I definitely see that it's coming from a very privileged place where I'm speaking from, I do believe that there is still truth in what those great mystics and all of them said about the external circumstances to our well-being versus the internal decisions that we make, which is, am I using the moment in front of me to grow, to evolve, no matter how on a worldly level maybe bad or horrible they are? Because as the Dalai Lama also said, right, pain is inevitable. We are gonna experience pain, but suffering is optional because that is a choice. And but I will say, with all of the horrible things happening in the world, me sitting in Germany in this place, you know, and not having to worry about bombs falling, I don't know, down here, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done.
Tyler, great question. Maxi, thanks for the answer. Crystal, what do you got for us?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Maxi, for coming and sharing your truth. And thank you so much, Dr. Doolittle, for inviting him. I love these talks so much. but I guess like my question, I don't know if it's really a question. I guess it's kind of a series of statements, which I hope could lead into a question for me to gain a better understanding. I mentioned earlier, my research focuses on spiritual consciousness. And for my dissertation, I conducted an analysis where I looked at the separate moderating effects of spiritual consciousness, religiosity, and spirituality, because I'm positing this concept as something outside of religion and outside of the traditional measurements for spirituality. And I like to think of spiritual consciousness, something outside of dogma, something outside of a spiritual practice. It's a way of being. It's something that comes from within. It's almost like this inside out approach to living. And I also agree with you that even though we may be sitting in a place of privilege, for, you know, whatever means, however we define that, I do believe that it doesn't matter where you come from, that this awareness can be accessed at any time and at any place. And I say that because I've lived in both the East and the Western cultures. So I've currently been living, traveling back and forth between the US and Bali, and doing some research there, and just like observing, honestly, the different cultures. And in the Balinese culture, they teach their, you know, their children that connection to source, connection to nature, and connection to other people is the biggest source of connection you can have for others. And when I live in that society and I looked at the people there, they seem like they have this joy that comes from within. When they smile from the inside. And I didn't really see that when I was living in the US. People seem more consumed with kind of the daily pressure. So I would say, honestly, like that the people living in the Eastern cultures, even though maybe economically they may not be as advanced as some of the Western societies, I think they have a deeper source or a deeper connection to that source because of how they are raised, because of that Eastern philosophy when it comes to spirituality and just connection. And I think we've lost a lot of that in the Western culture. So I guess like my question would be, have you kind of seen some of that? I know Germany, I also lived in Germany for a little bit, so I understand. Wow. it's a different place for sure, way different than the US and also different from Bali. But I was wondering if you've also had kind of those insights and just noticing the differences and the connection that people have with themselves and with source or with spirit.
Thank you so much, Crystal, for this beautiful question. And where in Germany did you live?
Berlin. So ich lebe in Berlin mit meinem Freund.
Beautiful. Ah, beautiful. Also used to live in Berlin. So yeah.
Ah, it's nice. We live in Friedrichshain. I'm still learning. It's a very difficult language.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. And I have to repeat myself here. I'm moved by this community, by the beautiful work that you are doing. We need so much more of that. So it's very beautiful, and to be able to speak here, I'm in deep reverence of all the work that you are doing. So yes, I have come in touch with this. And a recent example of that is my interview that I did with Sabine Kugler, who is a German author. She is the daughter of a German missionary and a language scientist, and he basically his family, so Sabine as his child, they're all have been sent to Papua New Guinea, into the jungle to explore the culture of the Fayu tribe, until then a completely remotely living tribe far off from any civilization. And Sabine basically was raised in the jungle, completely immersed into their culture, learning their ways, learning to hunt, learning to adapt, and to learn the language of the forest and the jungle. So her whole system, her senses, hearing, smelling, seeing, everything was primed to the environment of the jungle until she was 17, where she then went back to the West, and she was completely overwhelmed until today. So she never was able to reset her somatic system to the point of being able to participate in the West as somebody who was born and raised here. So there's massive differences to the external world that we are basically exposed to. And none of this is better or worse. I found it out in this interview. There's nothing to be judged here. But it definitely helps by being exposed to nature from a very early age on a daily basis, and to be somewhat to have to rely on it, to be so that nature is basically providing for life. You are in need to build a relationship with nature, and that, as we learn now through the scientific lens as well, and the somatic lens and many other modalities that point towards, oh right, and neuroscientific evidence as well, as Dr. Huberman, as a prominent figure of that, always repeats now, you know. So he's like also like cold therapy and getting up with the sun and doing all of these things that all of those people who are exposed to nature and the tribes have been doing intuitively and just because they have to anyway, for thousands of years. And so now we are in the West, we are catching up, and now we can put an apparatus on it and measure it. But the truth in and of itself, you know, was there all along. And so, nothing is better or worse here. And last sentence that I'm going to say is, I do believe that also we in the West, we can definitely, you know, also learn how to smile from the inside and meet the Atman and meet the source, just the route is different.
I agree. Thank you so much, Maxi.
Thank you.
Dr. Paul, what do you got to say about all this?
Thanks, Ben. I'm just so heartened. Thank you so much, Maxi and Crystal. Thank you for posing. There were so many aspects that you verbalized so articulately what I was thinking. So thank you for doing that. You know, I come back, Ben, to when you started the session and you pondered about burnout. Why are we where we are? And then we took the journey of spirituality, pause, reflection. And I really feel, and then I look at my personal journey 40 years into this, and I really believe that hard work, the burden of work or the joy of work, that's not what's driving burnout. The burnout is being driven by, there are no pauses. We are going from our cell phones to our laptops, to our computers, so there is this frenzy in life with very little moments to pause and to find what am I seeking? And what Maxi so beautifully elucidated, really, it's about submission. Spirituality is you are accepting, you're observing, and you are reflecting, what drives me? What am I seeking? And it's really not from going from one grant writing to another, from one hour, what we have set as goals in our frenzy are so palpable. And losses, rather than learning from failures, which is what journey is all about, the pause, the reflect, and finding new directions. I think we as a population, particularly in the developed world, and Crystal brought up some aspects, so I grew up in Pakistan. It's a different, the haves and the have-nots, the perspectives are so different. The generosity of spirit that you find in places where they have such little is profoundly touching. And I think we have to, these are the moments, Ben, I think what you started, these moments of reflection, hearing each other and just thinking, what drives me? So I do believe our burnout is our own doing. It's not external forces that are burning us out. It's we are just not pausing to identify what flame lights me and what burns me out. These are just some thoughts.
Yeah. Dr. Paul, thank you so much. Maxi, any reflections on that?
So beautiful. Thank you. I do totally resonate with that. And yeah, we're definitely not bothering us. The moment in front of us is not bothering us. We are bothering ourselves about the moment in front of us. So everything that happens externally is in and of itself, from a truly spiritual viewpoint, neutral. And so we give it a meaning, right? So, and while there is such challenging external circumstances, if we are able to alchemize them into medicine, the growth can be exponential. And sometimes having less distractions in the outside can even facilitate a more immediate connection to the divine. So that's just what you have mentioned, you know, in regions where there is less access to digital technology or whatever it may be, all of those things, contrary to common belief, are sometimes actually hindering us to ascend spiritually. And so, let's rewrite the narrative here, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, Eugene, you can unmute yourself, and there you go.
Okay.
What's on your mind? Thanks for being here. You know, and would you,
thank you.
Could you share your one liner of where you're zooming in from and maybe what your background is?
The Denver, Colorado area. Yes, thank you. I'm you strike me as, Maxie, as being a very curious person. You interviewed 50 celebrities. Is there a single attribute? Is there possibly a single attribute that we can extract from all those interviews? Might it be curiosity? Might it be curiosity? You know, I think of David Brooks' recent book, How to Know a Person. It's curiosity is so important in getting to know a person, but about life itself. I don't mean to preface my question that I asked, but is there a single attribute that we could all work on, take away from your massive collection of data here, that could help us all flourish? I certainly wish to flourish, and there's room for improvement. Is there something you could extract, simply stated, like curiosity?
That's a great question. That's a great question to close with. You know, I mean, that's perfect. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Maxie. Go ahead. I can't. That's a great question.
I'm so honored. I have goosebumps, and I'm so honored to be asked those questions. So yeah, Eugene, thank you so much for this beautiful question. Openness. It's an openness. To life. It's an openness. To new insights, into new stories, into doing things for the first time, even though you're 75 and people around you may say, you know, I've seen it all. I've had people on my podcast from all different walks of life and age and backgrounds. But one thing they all have in common is, yes, they're curious and they're just open. They're open for evolution. And another word that comes is surrender. So no resistance to the moment in front of you, in front of me. In my personal healing journey has been profound. So can I just stay open? Can I stay open? All of this is happening for the highest. And you know, the manifestation in each of our lives will look completely different. You know, we'll have different circumstances surrounding us. But we can, if we can really stay open through all of it, knowing and feeling and sensing that it's happening for us and not to us, and even one step higher, it's happening through us, we're set our soul up for a great path. Because I really do believe that this is our purpose here. It's to keep evolving no matter what. And that is being able to take place by being open.
Dave, thank you. Thank you.
Maxie, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You have opened our hearts and minds to deep questions, and it is time for us to hustle back into the busyness of life, which is challenging and beautiful and sad and joyful, sometimes in the very same breath. Good friends, our next gathering will be the final gathering of the academic year. I put the date in the chat. It's Wednesday, April 3rd, and it is Dr. John Perry, who's a senior lecturer in theological ethics from St. Andrews University, the one in Scotland. So And this speaks to the breadth and the depth and the diversity of the people who come on this gathering, right? We got Maxi from Germany, and then a theological ethicist from Scotland. And anyway, folks, thank you for supporting this gathering. And I am especially encouraged by the folks who, for whom this is the first visit. So Lisa, thank you for being here. And thanks for folks who haven't been here in a while, came back. And of course, I'm really grateful for the folks who are here every single time, because it really helps. It feels like there's a nice group, a nice Zoom community. So thank you, thank you, thank you for everyone to support this. And Maxi, thank you. Thank you. We are now connected. We've had two conversations. And if when we have the third conversation, it means we will be friends. And so whenever, you know, your acquaintances, colleagues, and then friends. So the third time we're truly friends. But please know you've built a bridge of friendship between Bavaria and Yale, and you're a welcome back anytime, anytime. Mm-hmm. And I love your benediction, which is be open. And perhaps, friends, that should be the word by which we are sent forth on this day. So good friends, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Maxi. Be open.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm truly honored. And I wish you all the utmost best, the grace and abundance that you all deserve. You're doing very important work. And Ben, we need more people like you who are open in positions such as the one you're in, because you're really building bridges and opening up a space for people to gather. So thank you.
We're all in it together. See you next time, everybody. Be safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.